Welcome to the Mind Cemetery, where the paranoia about the paranormal comes to rest every Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern, right here exclusively on the UFO Paranormal Radio Network. Heard around the world online at uprntalkradio.com, on FM 107.7 New Orleans, as well as 105.9 in Pass Christian, Mississippi. As always, we will do our best to delve into the unexplained, weird, and sometimes creepy topics you won't hear in your local news. Like what you hear on the show? Then like the Mind Cemetery Facebook page and follow at Mind Cemetery on Twitter. If you want to check out the show on your time, download the Mind Cemetery off iTunes and at soundcloud.com/UPRN. For all of the UFO Paranormal Radio Network's shows, visit mindcemetery.net for info on upcoming guests, weird news, award-winning blogs, show archives, and of course, the ever-present UFO Stalker. Join the discussion live in the UFO Paranormal Radio Network chat room on Pal Talk or call into the show at 1-504-273-7379. Yes, and thank you for hanging out with us again on another Monday night here on UPRNTalkRadio.com, the United Public Radio Network, every Monday night, 9 to 11. As you hear, phone lines are open, 504-273-7379. Bunch of topics tonight, but overall, when you call in, if you call in, if you'd like to, what I'd like to know, two things actually today for callers. What is the biggest mystery out there to you? Nice, easy one. And then, the other question I have, it's a little harder. What is your first experience with the paranormal or UFOs in general? Or even maybe a conspiracy here and there that you ran into as a kid. But what was that first experience you had? And how has it affected you from there on out in your perception of a lot of experiences or other people's experiences? So it's kind of a difficult one. It's very, what do I say? Existential, I guess. Maybe. Slightly. For everybody. Sorry about that, Pop. I got a new muff, actually, for my microphone. That's the downside to getting a new muff. It was for my microphone. So no more, you know, big screen in my face that I had. I had a big round one, so it's a little smoother, and it'll definitely work out better for when we start getting a little video chat going here, which we will on the network start introducing that to the whole package that we bring you in, so in alternative media. Give you a little live streaming video of your hosts, and you get to see the studio in their beautiful face, except, you know, in most cases, they're not so beautiful, except for mine, of course. When you dial it in, you'll get to see, and you'll be glad you did. So, and you'll be wondering, why isn't this guy on television? And then you'll be wondering, well, how come no one's killed this guy yet? Or beaten him severely. Well, that's subjective, of course. When I say severe beating, that is. Many subtle degrees from just beat down to severe beating, I guess. But anyway, we can all hope, though, right? Everybody can have a dream. Tonight's episode is sponsored by TK Digital Marketing. You can find them online, tkdigitalmarketing.com. Follow them on Twitter, tkdigitalmktg, so it's the abbreviation for marketing, and like TK Digital Marketing on Facebook. Looking to boost your business, improve, establish, or revolutionize your digital marketing with a full-service digital team from social media to web development to SEO and PPC? Learn more at tkdigitalmarketing.com. Or if you're a fan of Twitter and you like to get information much faster and hopefully a little less nonsense, then I would definitely follow them. Then versus Facebook, that is. At TK Digital MKTG on Twitter there. And you'll get to see interesting stories about social media strategies there. And quite frankly, if you're running a business and you don't have a digital footprint in any way, shape, or form, then you're probably not doing too well. Or at least you could do a whole lot better. At least more bang for your buck. And that's the name of the game. Return on investment. So check them out, tkdigitalmarketing.com, for any more questions that you need answering. More importantly, why you need to get up in front, out in front of a digital footprint for your business, too, is controlling the message, that's for sure. What your business does, what you can do for people, all that kind of stuff. And, of course, positive reviews from when you've done well, or a customer likes what you've been doing for them. But anyway, let's see what we have going on tonight. Been kind of busy. It was my birthday last Friday, so it was a long weekend. I tried to do as little as possible, of course, which worked out well in some places and not so well in others, as you can imagine. But we all managed to survive, of course, to ride some go-karts with my son. That was a good time. Always a good time. So there were a lot of stories out here that we could talk about, but some of the newer ones I'm going to hit on was one that I noticed from online, of course, this Washington blog talking about new documents from Snowden that were released and what they're actually saying that's going on. British spies seed the internet with false information, including the ability to manipulate the results of online polls, artificially inflate page view counts on websites, and quote-unquote amplify sanctioned messages on YouTube and censor video content judged to be quote-unquote extremist. So, basically, what they're telling you, or Edward Snowden is telling you in the release of these documents, saying all of this good stuff, is everything you've probably feared in the past, and that's basically everything connected to the internet or on the internet or disseminated via the internet and its various social media venues can be manipulated. Not only can it, but it has, and it will continue to be. So, right, and it plays right into the entire net neutrality issues that people have and they're talking about. More boo, right? Because that definitely was the last bastion of freedom, supposedly, is the internet, where you can get all the truth unfiltered, allegedly, because now it's pretty much confirmed that it has been, at least by the British people, and it's now government, that is. Spy agency GCHQ. Well,
this is anonymous group, anonymous, and we're hacking you, man.
With any luck.
No, actually, I just cut in for a minute because I wanted you to let everybody know. I forgot a couple of things. Erica's new book's coming out today, but what I wanted to talk to you about was the show you did. What was it, Tuesday? I actually put it in a featured list on the SoundCloud.
Nice.
So, guys, if you're looking for us, you're going for the Big Shoulder Sports Show from last Tuesday, because I know he's got one coming up tomorrow. It was an interesting show. Actually, I think I just put the clip part up at the top. What was it, 30 minutes, 20 minutes?
Yeah, there's a 26-minute interview there with John
Ziegler. Yeah, 26 minutes and 66 seconds.
It got a lot of attention on Twitter there, at Shrug Sports, if you follow the sports show there. That's pretty much why I didn't do a show last week, too. I was prepping for that, and you know, of all the comments I've gotten out of it, I've only gotten one comment that said, I got owned, or we got owned, and it was from a very fervent defender of John Ziegler. So I said, well, thank you for your listen, and thank you for your advice, because you are the first and only person to come to that conclusion so far, that has told me at least. So for every positive note that I've been given via Twitter or Facebook or something like that because of all this and the thing, I like to think there's at least 5 or 10 that aren't posting, and then there's, or telling me, that feel the same way, and then Conversely, I'm sure there's a bunch that think I suck and it was terrible that just haven't notified me yet. So
I thought you owned the interview. I don't think he ever got control of the entire interview. I thought you did a really good job. It was a very professionally held interview. He didn't want to have his feet held to the fire. You could tell by that. He was squirming and worming the whole time. But in the end, you know, because I could tell when he first started talking to him, like, well, this guy's got a set message in his head. He wants to go. He wants you to ask these questions so he can answer these answers, and in this particular order, which actually I think pissed him off. Excuse my language, ladies. About halfway through the interview, he did get a little snappy there, a little more than just his usual personality.
He went a little above and beyond to try to provoke us and get us off key and talk about what he wants to talk about. And I made that clear in the interview that I'm asking the questions and now I'm going to talk about what I want to talk about, because he's locked and loaded to go with his usual rhetoric. And that was, I felt, the key to preparing for that interview is stay away from what he's locked and loaded for and go with curveballs all day. It's not a matter of me not being able to debate him on his quote-unquote facts and all that kind of garbage. The point is that he doesn't believe there's any victims. So when it comes down to that, then why should I even debate a human being, you know, that believes that all 45 or 48 counts of, you know, sexual deviancy with minors against Jerry Sandusky?
You know, all them children threw themselves on him, and they lied about their age. They had fake IDs.
Well, it was all for money. See, and that's another point where I tried to get out with that, is the conspiracy aspect that he likes to float out there without actually saying the word conspiracy, because that's another tactic of his that he uses, is to say things without saying them and dance around words. And he doesn't like having his foot to the fire, like I was saying, and so, or like you were saying. And a lot of people that listen to this show aren't going to know who John Sigler is, but
look him up.
It's an interview.
Look him up, Nico. Listen to the interview. There you go.
To listen to actually see me interview someone for the first time that is hostile from the beginning, because like Joe said, he come with his agenda, and you knew he didn't take it serious because he was busy out at a park with his kid, he said. So you can tell right there he didn't come with any intentions to actually debate anything. It was just to kind of play around and have fun. Well, I feel like it kind of backfired on him, because I got him to agree to something he had been avoiding me on Twitter for a very long time, and that's disclose your financial documentation, your W-2s. Where do you get your money? And he agreed to that, and he's been very quiet since then. So that's very telling to me. Something I wanted to hit on that interview.
Here, this is where I got my money, jackass. See my wallet. Now, what else? What else you want to know about?
Yeah. Another good funny thing, too, with that interview is Jay asked about Franco Harris and his relationship with him and how that is. Because the week before then, basically a week within our interview, Franco dissolved his relations with John Ziegler. So he hit on a fresh wound, and having John sit there and have to smile his way through, oh, we're fine, you know, yeah, okay. Yeah, you didn't think anybody was going to ask that question, did you? You know, he's very used to soft local interviews in the valley there, in Happy Valley, as they like to call it. So my official stance on Joe Paterno, you know, I'll talk more about that, and it's a very sad state of what broke down of a man that was and probably could have stopped a lot of things in his younger days, and then how he turned very apathetic and in his older age. Let's put it that way, I think. So no conspiracy needed. Plenty of folks around him to help him shuffle things away, and that's why there's folks on the Board of Trustees from Penn State University in trouble right now. So we'll see how that shakes out as well. So we'll see what they have to say about any kind of cover-up or anything like that. And, of course, there's no conspiracy for a cover-up in John's eyes, but there is definitely a conspiracy on the part of the alleged 10 victims to cash in for money. So keep that in mind.
You know, I can't ever rule out that people wouldn't jump on somebody for money. It wouldn't even be the first time in our history that one person said something and five, six other people jumped on it. But the really important thing is, you know, apparently they were convincing enough to convince a jury to convict his ass.
Right.
I hate to say it that way. I mean, that was kind of rude, but
a jury of his peers. And, of course, he likes to talk due process. And, like, I think I asked him what his version of due process was, because due process takes case in the courtroom. It's not a matter of jury pools being tainted and all. That's not due process.
In these kind of cases, you never will ever really truly know. All you can say here is, well, these 10 against one, and that's just how it is, and that should be enough to prove that, you know. Now, I'm not exaggerating numbers for anybody writes to Jeff. That's just the numbers. It's but then again, you know, there was just a case just recently where they were suing an NFL player who said, oh, by the way, there's another case like that too. What was it? Darren Sharper, isn't it? Who's getting sued?
One of
the ex-ones, yeah. But anyway, one of these cases just recently, there was like 7 of them. All of them got dropped. They found out none of them were real. And then even in Goofball's case, 5 of them have already been dropped. So it does show that people do have a tendency to jump on the bandwagon for the money, but generally where there's that much smoke, just some kind of frickin' fire going on. So let's rephrase this and say only one of the 10 it actually happened to. Well, he still got what he deserved, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
yeah,
soon
exactly.
Enough. Yeah.
And it's as they're bringing up in the chat room here, talking about all the problems over there with the pedophile and sex scandals. There are pedophilia charges against friends of the crown in the UK. You know, there's a lot of, you know, as I posted in the chat room, a lot of what I like to call the diddling knights out there. So
now, you know,
it seems like there's a lot of them they got to cover up.
People.
Yeah, and I just saw something too that Sasha was posting about how just conveniently everything you want to ask the royal family is now. They don't have to tell you nothing.
Yeah.
So that's convenient for them.
We're talking about Sasha Christie. She hosts on Citizen Scene on Friday night. She's off right now because she just had a newborn, a chip, period, with a newborn doll. Sasha, slap on the ass. Never dying, dear. Sasha's always hilarious, man. She's a great researcher, and she's a lot of fun to talk to. So I'll be glad when she gets back. I've seen her making some comments on Facebook today about children. I'm going to let Chip go back. I see there's a couple people trying to call. I seen Kathy.
Oh,
it looks like Ben or somebody's phone. So I'm going to get off here so y'all can call Chip. Y'all don't have to go be.
Hey, there we go.
Yeah, I know you feel abused by me people, but it happens sometimes, you know. What can you say? My co-host says
that's
I
right.
Abuse her ass all the time. She's right. Yes.
Hey, that's great. That's the victim mentality
that's
out there.
Right.
You know, after our interview, John Ziegler tried to play the victim on Twitter, you know, so.
Y'all can't
tell
Stephanie, but cop sends me $10 a week just to give her shit.
That's a couple beers.
Just so he says a case of beer, there you go. If I could get 10 for everybody, man, I'd be rolling. Anyway, I'm going to get out of here. I just wanted to come tell you about that, and I wanted to tell you if y'all wanted to hear the interview, you can catch it over on Soundgarden.
SoundCloud.
I did it again. I'm one at Sound. I'm starting my own thing here, y'all. On SoundCloud.
Right.
I mean, it's on SoundGarden. I mean, on PodGarden too. But
PodGarden. Yes.
But you can go over. It's a feature one. It's the very first one at the top. It'll be up there for probably 2-3 weeks. Give everybody a good chance to listen. Then we'll fold it back into the flow. We're trying to wean y'all off of wherever invisible you're listening to the archives now. I noticed my GoDaddy thing says we have listeners, but it doesn't work anymore. I'm trying to like, what the hell.
That's that British government manipulation right
going
there.
On over there. But anyway, I'm going to get – I see somebody out calling in as I'm leaving out of here.
There you go. Hello, caller.
Hey, Chip.
Hey, what up, Callie? How you doing?
Yeah, good. Since you had open lines, like, of course I couldn't help but like try calling in, especially since you didn't have a show last week.
Yeah, it's been a while, that's for sure, and it's gotten a little busy this weekend, and I haven't heard from you at least a month, it seems like.
Yeah, it was a while. But anyway, like you said that for anyone that calls in, that there were two questions you wanted to answer. Like, the first one was, like, what's the biggest mystery to us, like, currently? That's the first one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, one, I would say, like, the biggest mystery is what happened to the Nick Redfern book that I was supposed to get from you.
There you go. You got me. Which one is it? What is it? For Nobody's Eyes Only?
Yeah,
I'm looking at my shelf.
Yeah.
It's For Nobody's Eyes Only.
Yeah. Well,
right.
At least
refresh. Send me back your information on Facebook again, and I'll get on it here.
Yeah, I'll try messaging to you. Though it'd probably be a little easier if you actually accept my friend request, because I believe I sent you a friend request, but...
I'll get on it, damn it.
Yeah, but if that goes to the case, at least I get a book from Erica Gesch, because I actually shared some of my artwork with her that she said she's putting in her book, and...
Nice!
Yeah, I'm really
looking
forward
to it. You've got to be published. You can put that next to your name forever, then.
Yeah, and I'm really looking forward to her having a show again. But anyway, back in all seriousness, the biggest mysteries to me is that from listening to the show and reaction to the station in general and just hearing about all these abduction cases, I guess the biggest mystery to me is why, if they're just always here, if they're coming here constantly and there's supposed to be so many of them, why haven't we find a very credible evidence for them, outside of abduction cases? Why haven't we seen any, receiving, signals, at least, from past civilizations that still used radio, or, find any, evidence of, warp or waste heat or anything like that? That's what you call the great filter. I believe that's what they call it. Or the Fermi paradox. Yeah, that's
cool. Nice. So why we haven't gotten any kind of the same hints at intelligent life that we're sending out from anybody else, basically, and why they haven't left any evidence behind. Well, I think at least in the mythology realm of UFOs and aliens, right? In the hierarchy that they're held up on, the higher shelf than the paranormal. And it's probably by design because, nobody wants to think you're being visited by something dumber than you, to begin with, or manipulated possibly by something dumber than us. But it seems like a lot of the times I don't want my alien being sloppy. I don't know if I want a sloppy alien visiting us, leaving behind traces, I think that's just bad business for them they got to do.
Yeah, well, there's supposed to be billions of them. That couldn't be helped even if they were very careful. Because, honestly, if there were billions of intelligent races, you would constantly see light zipping across the sky. And it would be almost like shooting stars on a date every, 2 minutes or something. But you don't see that.
And well, maybe we're just out of the way too, in the galaxy, or at least in the Milky Way galaxy. I know we're on one of the outside bands there, and use a Star Wars term, maybe we're on the outer rim. Who knows?
Yeah, I remember hearing before, a while back, that our planet's actually in a place where we can actually know what's in and outside of the universe very well, because we're kind of outside of the orbit. I think one of the star clusters are in the galaxy arms or something like that. I can't remember the exact details. It was a while back, but we should at least be able to see these kind of things at least very well. And I've also heard that if aliens are very, very old, they wouldn't be using radio transmissions anymore, but some other kind of communication. And I've heard about quantum entanglement, where you can have two particles at any given point in the universe vibrating at the same time and still be able to connect with each other, and that's a way of interstellar communication in real time. Chip?
Yes. No, I'm just thinking, maybe so you're saying that something like an internet keeps the communications more tied to their planet and their species, basically, and there's less loosey-goosey signals being tossed out all over the place.
Yeah.
But then again, you still have that age factor, I think, that you were talking about, that even if they started down that path like we did, we'd still have seen something or heard something,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, and the universe would have been colonized thousands, billions of times over, and if you believe all the ancient alien stuff, you probably would have prevented any other kind of intelligent species arising here, because they probably would have been here. And if they were advanced enough to cross stars, they would have been able to, like, prevent or mediate any disasters that would cause them to leave, like an asteroid-type strike or something like that, or some kind of other natural disaster.
Hmm. Yeah, that is a good point. And Mad Chipmunk in the chat room is pretty much echoing the same thing, is that something is wrong, and we should be detecting some sort of signals out there. That's a good point.
Yeah.
And, you know, who's to say we haven't interpreted it just wrong, you know? Maybe some signals that we're using are not the same, or, you know, how you always hear about infrared spectrums and different interdimensional and all that kind of stuff being used with aliens and visitation. So
yeah,
who knows?
How some aliens may even use. He was like flashes of laser flashes or something, kind of like Interstellar Morse code, because those things would travel at the speed of light and be much quicker than radio transmissions. Though then again, that seems rather ineffective because you still have light speed. So even from like the distance between here and the Alpha Centauri system, it would take like 4 years for a message to get across. It's almost like sending posts slowly,
yeah,
but at an interstellar level.
You know what I was thinking the other day when I was watching TV? I was watching an episode of Fraggle Rock with my kids, and I hung out to the credits to find out, I was like, what friggin' year was this? You know, because I remember watching this when I was a kid, for God's sakes. And it's like 83, and I was like, holy shit. And then I asked Nicole, I was like, you know, some other species is watching Fraggle Rock probably right now and thinking, what the hell is going on here?
Assuming they can receive it.
Yeah. Is
and
that,
actually,
you know, maybe they're getting it. They're getting these old shows of ours, you know, and thinking,
yeah,
what, you know?
Yeah, if it's really embarrassing, we're probably lucky that they're not receiving it.
Right? Yeah, God knows what they're getting. That's for sure.
Yeah, or not getting. But, yeah, but anyway, like, you had a second question about, like, what was my, like, first experience with the paranormal and stuff and how that affected my life. Well, honestly, I'm pretty sure I'm not an abductee, and I can't really say that I've had like an encounter with ghosts or spirits or anything like that. The closest thing is just hearing about it on TV from like programs on the History Channel, because you know I had a lot of those, or on National Geographic, as I became interested in the topic of aliens, but at the time I was more interested in more animal-like aliens or scientifically accurate aliens, kind of I guess I was kind of initiated by a Discovery Channel special that they had a while back called Alien Planet, which is inspired by creations of an artist named Wayne Douglas Barlow. Like, you can look him up, and it's actually pretty interesting and pretty neat. So
cool. Definitely, yeah. I think I've seen that program on a few times, and it is interesting to see, or at least how life somewhere else could have developed, or how it could have developed way differently here on Earth. You know, and there's a lot of things that we would run into here that the normal person would say, "Hey, that's alien as hell" when they look at it. You know, especially underwater things.
Yeah, and I guess
I
guess I'd also like it in kind of spoiler for anybody who hasn't seen it or. Can't see it. Like, they do feature intelligent aliens, but it doesn't look anything like us. In fact, it's kind of a floater with like gas bag on its head, claws and long tentacle like fingers. And I guess the point is that an intelligent species like doesn't have to look anything like us. And I guess that's what raises a lot of doubts about like a lot of the aliens people report abductions, that they're just way too humanoid. And even if there was any kind of like genetic relations with us and them, they look way too similar to each other, and some people like would say that's just like lack of imagination or anthropomorphizing what a species would look like, because like we can relate more to that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's,
yeah, I definitely think there's a higher possibility of a, you know, insectoid type or a reptilian type, that at least in our eyes it would be, you know, type body form. out there.
Yeah, there's also like physiology. For example, with insects, like they can't get really get very large because their biology prevents them from absorbing oxygen efficiently, so they're limited to small size, and they only had big sizes when there were high levels of oxygen. And also, even with that, their biostructure like would only collapse on them if they were much larger than, like, say, like you could never have a 1-ton praying mantis or something like that, or even like a 100-pound mantis. And with reptiles, I think it's just being cold-blooded and not having the right kind of neurology or physiology to support a large brain or higher form intelligence. Like in birds, you might because they're warm-blooded and you do see signs of intelligence in them, but they probably wouldn't be the same. And even at like dinosaurs, they wouldn't look like that dinosaur, really. You know, the bipedal like dinosaur that people think are reptilians. Like they wouldn't really look like that. They would eat feathers. They wouldn't have to be upright. They would still have a tail and probably even use more of their mouth than their fingers, because that's what birds usually use to manipulate stuff.
What about like a cetacean? Like a crab person.
Crustacean, I think you have the same issue with invertebrates and also neurology. But then again, it's a big universe, so it could look similar to what we attribute to insects or crustaceans or reptiles, but may have a different physiology. And I know that from my card, the reptilians aren't actually reptiles, but the closest thing they can describe them as warm blooded amphibians. So they don't really fit any of the criteria of reptiles or amphibians or even mammals. But that adds a little more believability to them, which is actually one of the reasons why I start trusting a lot of eye confirmation. I was before all this stuff about aliens kind of scared me and I had fears that I was abducted as well. So I started looking into it more, and there was a lot of weird stuff that I read about, like all the different kinds of alien species, like what their behavior was. There was a YouTube video about that was naming different alien species visiting, or then they talked about how those grays were feeding on brain juice and stuff like that, and how you talk about like working reptilians or draconian reptilians and Anunnaki and all that kind of stuff. Like I had a hard time accepting that. And then I forget what year it was, that's when I came across a podcast that had Joe Montaldo on it talking about the different aliens and that stuff. And since then I found that kind of stuff to be the most believable about aliens that I've found so far.
Nice. And yeah, actually, it's definitely
sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
And actually, I think it was recently that I started accepting gained more acceptance of paranormal stuff being real. I guess listening to Second Sight radio. Mm-hmm. Before I didn't really care much about the subject, though I did was kind of a fan of ghost adventures and other cryptozoology shows about Bigfoot, Loch Ness monsters, a whole bunch of other stuff. I had a strong interest in that for a while.
You know what? I just saw an article, and I'll talk about it here. And I was going to talk about it. The Mountain Monsters series there is talking about a Hogzilla that's 1,200 pounds.
I've heard about that. Yeah,
too
ridiculous. If you give a feral hog a very good environment, a lot of food, and seeing how aggressive they usually are, they have feral predators. They can get to large sizes. And there's a story about a boy that shooting a large feral hog that was about 9 feet in length. So and looked pretty big. And those things are a problem, and actually much dangerous than a wolf or a bear. They're ultra aggressive.
Yeah.
They have those tusks that can It caused major damage to your body. It's not the big round tusks that you have to worry about. It's the smaller protruding tusks that are more like knives on the side of their mouths. So.
Yep. Yeah, that's a good point you bring up about how dangerous actually hogs are out there that are big. And that 1,200-pound one that they're talking about here, they're calling it the Hogzilla of Hocking Hills, I guess. And it was on Friday on Destination America, which is a pretty good station for a lot of shows that have a lot of crazy stuff on there. I know Monument Mysteries or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not too bad.
Yeah, and the Science Channel has actually had a couple of stuff like about relating to that as well. You have like NASA Unexplained Files and recent.
Yep.
And they're really getting more and more into like unexplained mysteries and like the possibility of aliens and that kind of like actually the whole like interest in aliens and like more like speculation and learning and studying about topic of what alien life in the universe could be. It kind of like downplays the whole like claim that like the reason we're not hearing about aliens because it's a cover up of scientists and religious people like trying to deny the truth of their existence because it would conflict with those things, even though we're becoming more and more accepting of those things and in an increasingly secular world, which is kind of bad news for a religious person like myself, like that argument loses more ground.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, they're saying this Hogzilla stands up on its back 2 feet, so that's definitely not good.
Yeah.
That's messed up.
Yeah, I don't know if that's true or not. I've actually seen a couple of episodes of that Mountain Monsters, and it's really entertaining. It's actually, one of my favorite episodes from that was the one about, a werewolf or something like that, or a dogman, and that was like pretty compelling. I should try to be more skeptical about it, but it seemed was really interesting and how like it may have even like caught one close up on thermal with a baited goat that they had.
Yeah, I remember that episode. Yeah, there was another one where one of them passed out or something like that when they were standing up.
That was like. For the Mothman episode, and they actually like even came up with the conclusion of Mothman being a supernatural entity of some sort.
Yeah, that's the running, it's not the running thing, but that's the John Keel idea of it, and that's the one I'm most likely to fall in line with now, when it comes to being a physical beast and all this kind of stuff versus a supernatural one. I'm in the same boat with Bigfoot, too, I definitely think there's something to those things. It's just, we'll find out, I guess. I know the stabilized Bigfoot Patterson Gimlin film made its rounds again in the last couple weeks here I saw, and I just thought to myself, I saw this thing like a year ago. What the hell is going on, with people not knowing this stuff? Because it looks worse than ever when it's stabilized. Nothing's moving and jiggling and the fur's very in place. And, it really blows away, too, a lot of people's opinion that it would take a master, makeup artist and stuntman and illusionist extraordinaire monster creator, basically Clive Owen and Rick Baker, it would take to make this thing, and it really blows that out of the water that you could do a suit without too much problems on your own, folks, especially when the camera's going to be shaky and blurry.
Though I don't know how many people would put breasts on a suit like in that Patterson film. You were saying something?
I think it's, I think it's the best hoaxed film ever on the planet right there. One of the best.
Right, you think it's a hoax?
Oh, yeah, completely. There's no doubt about it when I see the stabilized video of it, and I encourage everyone that to go out and look at that and decide on their own based on, just look at the stabilized version first, and forget everything about the story and just say, this is a picture of a Bigfoot, or at least that's what they're telling me. And then watch the film. And you will be disappointed. Let's put it that way. It won't be that great of a video anymore, and you'll stop pointing to it and saying, "See, Bigfoot exists." You know, you'll be like, "Ooh, I don't think I want to talk about this video or have it in my documentaries anymore." But, you know, that's all producers. You know, you got to have the juice, I guess, of the Patterson-Gimlin film in your documentary or your show, and you got to bow at the altar of cryptozoologists past, right? You can't really smash anyone's nuts when you're trying to get in the business. You have to play nice and big tent mentality and all that. Because, you know, everybody's winking and smiling at each other when they're talking about it. Bigfoot, that is, and their product they're selling.
Honestly, I don't know how to take up the whole Bigfoot thing anymore. Like, this is hard for me since I haven't seen a Bigfoot or anything like that, or haven't really seen anything like that happen to me in my life.
Yeah.
Sometimes I wish I could, though. I guess sometimes I wish I probably should want to have anything like that happen to me. Like, you're probably better off.
some conscious shattering events in your life, that's all. It's just a big hairy ape walking through your yard.
Yeah.
go back to work, right?
or then big head is like a creature thing poking things wherever there's an opening. So
there you go. Nice.
When I heard the gym use like that, it kind of puts a bad picture in my mind, especially if you're a guy. Yeah.
Definitely. It should quickly. That's
yeah,
for sure.
I'm not going to go further than that.
Nice. Anything else you got for us before we get out of here? We're about 5 minutes from the break.
Yeah. Well, actually, originally I was going to call, like it said, it was open. Line. I was going to come talk about Mars for a bit since Joe had his whole show about Mars, but I don't know if I'll be able to have time or stay on the line long enough for that.
Well, there you go. Well, we'll do some Mars talk, I guess. I don't know what's going on. Oh, wait. Wasn't there like a UFO from Mars or something like that they saw?
Yeah, that was like tried by curiosity. Though I read from like one of the comments on the article about that it was only seen by one camera. So it probably was like just like a digital spec here or that. Or it's kind of like what Joe says, UFOs can only be seen by like a few people. And maybe it works with cameras too. It can only be seen by a few cameras. I'm basing that off of nothing, so.
Yeah, well, you and everybody else that wants to analyze the video, I guess, right? You know? We don't get the actual pictures or the feed from NASA or anything like that, so, you know.
Yeah,
and
so
if they did release it, I'm sure it'd be nice.
Do you want to stay on the line during the break, or should I just let you go?
Yeah, just let me go, and we'll call back here. I got to get ready and get us out of here at the end of the first
call
hour.
Call back?
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. We'll see where we go.
I'll probably save the whole Mars talk for a different time. Like it'll help me build up research on it. And I guess it's kind of a counter argument to some of the things Joe says. Like actually, there's a lot of things I could make a counter argument for. Like particularly when it comes to ancient aliens. Like that probably should be a big project of mine, especially when I'm learning about. The history of the world and stuff like that, and just the civilizations, the religions they believed, and all that stuff. Like, there's a lot more into it than like just like some people coming down from space and like creating man, something like that. It's much more like it's much more complicated and intricate than that. Like each of these deities have their own personalities, own story. Stories and mythology, like I find it hard to believe that you can just attribute that to aliens. I think that's something that I feel like a lot of people who want to believe that just do all too readily.
That's
my alien. Like I'm not saying it's aliens, but it's aliens, kind of like that.
Right. Yeah, we're gonna hit, and we're gonna wink, and we're gonna smile, and I'm gonna talk about this, and then I'm gonna say I didn't say that. Right. That seems to be how it goes.
Yeah, that whole like saying was like I'm not saying it's aliens, but it's aliens. I think that's what the guy on Ancient Aliens, the TV show, says. You know, it was crazy hair.
Giorgio Socolow, you know, it's like they can have UFO investigator, ufologist, whatever moniker they want to give themselves, and then, you know, when they're done with the whole thing, well, don't quote me on it, you know, because I'm not that, you know, I'm not that guy. You know, that's how Nick Pope makes a living at it, I guess. You know, every 5 minutes he's switching from MOD specialist and riding that dead horse to UFO investigator and all this kind of garbage. And I'll talk about his interview that they did here when I get back. So we got to let you go, man. Thanks for calling up, and I'll get on you on Facebook, and I'll send that out. I'm looking at some – it fits at Chip's boxes right now in my office, so it's just a matter of taking my rear down to the post office for you.
All right.
It'll be for Callie's eyes only, the book. I'll rename it for you. Maybe I'll get my kids to autograph it for you.
Yeah.
All right, man. Have a good night. Thanks for calling.
You too.
All right. There you go, everybody. Haven't heard from Callie in a long time, so that's always a good thing. As usual, some good stuff there we talk about. And that will wrap up our first hour. I'll be back in about 8 minutes or thereabouts, as I like to say, into the next hour. And we will cover a lot of the topics I had brought up for today. You know, I already talked about Hogzilla, so I can cross that off the list. But there's still some stuff about the Snowden files and what the British spies are doing I'd like to talk about, and some of the tactics they use and some of the things the NSA uses. So net neutrality and all that good fun. And then we'll talk about the Pope interview I heard a couple weeks ago. About killed me listening to it, that's for sure. And some Stan Romanek news. So stay tuned to the Mind Cemetery right here on the United Public Radio Network, UPRNTalkRadio.com. Find us on Facebook, like us there, and also like Mind Cemetery. Follow us on Twitter at Mind Cemetery, and download all our shows on soundcloud.com/UPRN. You'll see the interview I was talking about if it, you know, you want to check that out. Like I said, there's a lot of similarities between the audiences there that a lot of people wouldn't think right off the top of their head when you want to talk about a UFO paranormal show, compare and contrast to a sports show. But they're there, folks. They're definitely there. People are people. No matter where you go. So we'll get out of here for a few minutes, and take us away, Joe. Welcome to the Mind Cemetery, where the paranoia about the paranormal comes to rest every Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern, right here exclusively on the UFO Paranormal Radio Network. Heard around the world online at UPRNTalkRadio.com, on FM 107.7 New Orleans, as well as 105.9 in Past Christian, Mississippi. As always, we will do our best to delve into the unexplained, weird, and sometimes creepy topics you won't hear in your local news. Like what you hear on the show? Then like the Mind Cemetery Facebook page and follow at Mind Cemetery on Twitter. If you want to check out the show on your time, download the Mind Cemetery off iTunes and at soundcloud.com/UPRN. For all of the UFO Paranormal Radio Network's shows, visit mindcemetery.net. Info on upcoming guests, weird news, award-winning blogs, show archives, and of course, the ever-present UFO Stalker. Join the discussion live in the UFO Paranormal Radio Network chat room on PalTalk, or call into the show at 1-504-273-7379. That's right. Welcome to hour number two right here on the United Public Radio Network, also known as UPRNTalkRadio.com. Soon to be formally known as the UFO Paranormal Radio Network, I believe so. Slowly but surely transitioning over there to the United Public Radio Network. So I'm starting to introduce it to the lexicon of the Mind Cemetery, I guess. Thanks for joining us tonight. Phone lines are open, 504-273-7379. And we heard from Callie in the first hour, answering both questions, actually, which is fine. I gave you kind of a choice, but you can answer both, and it's always good to hear from him, of course. I haven't heard from him in about a month, so we're back on track, I guess. I guess as they say, or as I just said, because I'm the only one that says that, of course. Tonight's episode is sponsored by TK Digital. TKDigitalMarketing.com. Follow them on Twitter at TKDigitalMKTG and like TK Digital Marketing on Facebook. I'm trying to not to be too derailed, but, you know, that's always a difficult thing to do. Anyway, if you own a business or an employee at a business, you know all about your digital footprint, and that's what TK Digital Marketing Solutions does for you, helps you out in establishing that, growing it, and helping you maintain it. It's very important. That's for sure. First hour, at the end of the first hour, I alluded to talking about an interview, and I guess no time like the present. So I listened to an interview with John Burroughs and Nick Pope, and it was disappointing because I didn't hear in the parts that I heard, and I think I missed maybe the last 40 minutes tops, you know, maybe as little as the last 20 minutes because I finally was like, had enough, but I don't know. I gave out somewhere in the second half, in the second hour listening to it, because it was nothing but every interview you've ever heard with them before. You know, you really had a chance to ask them to defend themselves on the 62-page point-by-point breakdown of the book that Peter Robbins did, and yet there was, to my knowledge, not mention of Peter Robbins or his review of the book. And again, like I said, maybe I missed it in the second half somewhere, and I understand why not to do such things, because it makes for a very antagonistic interview, a very difficult one when it's the last thing you want to do, actually, in this part of alternative media when it comes to UFO and paranormal stuff. Like I was saying earlier, it's a lot of smiling and winking and nodding and all that good stuff, and supporting each other and then walking away and on to the next one for the day, right? So, on to the next story, that is. So, I'm really not too shocked. I'm surprised that they even got an interview to begin with them, because it doesn't seem like they're too hip to doing anything but the big boy coast-to-coast interviews, which was pretty much the kind of interview you got, you know. Very softball-ish, very let you control the narrative of what's being said. And that's fine, those interviews can be done, but it did nothing, in my opinion, to resolve any of the critiques that Peter Robbins had of their book, and it did nothing to point out the absolute deliberate exclusion of Larry Warren and Peter Robbins, even though they would be alluded to multiple times in the book, as pointed out by Peter. So, yeah, really just a garbage interview that you really didn't have to waste your time listening to, that's for sure. Like I said, it's every interview you've ever heard them do to promote their books and their nonsense, and which is a shame, you know, because I didn't bother with getting in a chat room because I was busy with my own show and all that kind of garbage on Tuesday nights to listen. So, yeah, it was every bit of disappointing for that, but I understand the type of interview that it was. So I guess it accomplished the main thing, which is to keep your show in and on everybody's tongue. So, you know, I guess that's the way you do it. Another thing, too, that I would say, I wonder if, you know, my talks about John Ziegler and Penn State and on Tuesday night's show would be considered a hit piece. Because these gentlemen definitely threw a fit when I questioned their paranormal piece of potato and all that good stuff. So, I just wonder. Because, like I was saying, the similarities and differences between the two shows and all that kind of stuff that I was going to talk about, at least in the bases, you know, people have interests of all kinds, and whether it be sports or UFOs or politics or anything. But for the most part, I think the fan is the same passion-wise in their fervence and fervor. I just like saying fur, actually, in following their passions and following their interests. So I had crossed into the conspiracy realm with John Ziegler, which he can't stand talking about conspiracies. He believes in a lone gunman theory, let's put it that way, for all you JFK people. So if that tells you the kind of person and how adamant he is against conspiracies, you can get an idea right there and then on that one. But, you know, he likes to have his cake and eat it too, and, you know, it's very contradicting on a lot of points, because there was a, like I was saying, you can have a conspiracy to bilk someone out of money, but you can't have a conspiracy to cover up the bilking that may be happening, right? It just doesn't make sense to me. Why is ufology 30 to 50 years behind the times? That's I directly blame the fan base for that. Mad Chipmunk in the chat room that had that question out there. So I completely blame the fan base for not wanting more out of their investigators, for being fans of pseudoscience, for being uneducated masses as a whole. And I also blame the inability for ufologists, ufology as a whole, to be able to take steps into new mediums. And that would be, for me, at least, first and foremost, would be Twitter. They've pretty much destroyed Facebook with their nonsense, for the most part, in the big tent mentality. You know, you'll have guys on speaking engagements with some really questionable characters, that's for sure, with some very reputable ones. And that's, you know, what pays the bills, I guess, in those things. But it's definitely the fan base that I blame as a whole for not expecting more or wanting more or digging deeper to root out the real problems out there, the real problems that we've talked about plenty of times. You know, the Greers, and in my opinion, I don't see Stephen Bassett doing a damn thing for anyone but grandstanding and saying he's doing great things for humanity, you know. I just don't see it. You don't. And I don't think ufology gets it either, because you don't really need a Carney Barker anymore in ufology. What you need is someone with a scientific-based PhD, okay? We're not talking about philosophers, psychologists, sociologists, I got a BS, actually, Bachelor of Science in my criminology degree, so I didn't sit and take the sociological path in that. I didn't go that route with it. I went the scientific route. I did a lot of natural resources, soil, water, conservation testing, stuff like that. And if you think that's simple, well, I thought so too, until I took some of the classes and realized how difficult it can be to really hammer down the science that goes along with analyzing such basic things like water and soil samples, okay, let alone what's going on with people that want to hand you a piece of a spaceship. A piece of a spaceship. So, it's definitely that kind of scientists and PhDs that we need in the field, not so much historians and pontificators and all this kind of stuff. That does nothing for us. I think the Antonio Parises of the field, the Marilyn Carlsons, the Chase Gletskys are on the right track, and there's, you know, more people behind them that I don't know of and can't name off the top of my head, unfortunately, and that's a shame, because those people need to be pushed out there more than the Wilcox and the Greers and the Bassetts and the Webbers and all that kind of, you know, hoi polloi that goes on. But, you know, I'm just a dope with a show on Monday nights that nobody cares about, though, right? Or at least John Ziegler thinks I'm a moron and an idiot and all that, and I don't know facts and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, you'll hear that all in the interview. It's fun dealing with someone that's very hostile, let's put it that way, that didn't want to be there to begin with. And that's something I'm glad I got into on the sports show first and not so much here, because I think in the sports realm, confrontational interviews happen a lot. In regular media, confrontational interviews happen a lot. In investigative journalism, confrontational interviews happen a lot. When I look at UFO paranormal interviews, though, on these kind of shows that they have, you don't have a lot of bashing of foreheads against each other, and not a lot of ideologues colliding going on in these shows. And it's like I said before, it's for a purpose, you know. It's for that name that'll come along in the little tagline for your post on SoundCloud. You know, you need to have those things to get juice that week, to get people to come pay attention to you. But, you know, I can't blame anybody for that, because I proved that method works, you know, with my Prophet Yahweh interviews and my Don Walton interviews. And, you know, there's certainly a couple others I'm not proud of that I had on just for giggles, basically, and shenanigans. And hopefully a lot of people understand that listen to this show, and that it's not like I'm some raging hypocrite having these people on the show after I just said, well, I don't have, you know, the real baddies that I don't care for. Well, they won't come on, you know, because, and there's another distinct difference with the genres in the media cultures there with the two. Even though I had a terrible relationship with this guy, John Ziegler, where we butted heads many times on Twitter, of course, is the medium that I like to use lately to communicate with people, because it's easy, you know. Made some interesting friends out there already. Mark Cuban's brother, Brian Cuban, is a follower of the sports show, and some people out of the woodwork that trickle in, and growing that organically is interesting, because I got into a bit of a scuffle with this idiot that had 20,000 followers. It was like 20.1 followers, and he follows like 20,200 people, right? And I laughed at him. I laughed at him because he's like this, you know, NBA retweet fest that they have on there. Well, and that's literally like the name of the Twitter account where he likes to get these people will go out there and get caught up in these follow back Twitter chain letters, is the only way I can describe it to someone who isn't on Twitter yet. Basically the same as your email spam, where, you know, follow me and I'll follow back and all that. So I started calling them hashtag follow back girls, a play on the holler back girl song there. Gwen Stefani had for a while. So I was calling him follow back girls, and he was like, oh, I'm going to come down on you and blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm going to sick my 20,000 on you. I said, well, that's interesting that you managed to think that because you have 20,000 followers, your opinion actually matters, considering you gained all of them through a follow back girl chain. You know, start unfollowing some of those people and watch your numbers dwindle real quick. So, you know, I said, you know what, I'm actually going to go down this road with you, and I'm going to prove my point to you that you don't have real followers. So out of the 20,000, I think there was maybe 20 mentions of me by separate accounts, tops, and overall of under 40. And I just kind of laughed at him at the end. I said, now you do the math, pal. And you tell me how big your Twitter testicles are now, you know, that you've claimed you were going to sick your 20,000 minions down on me for what purpose? I don't know. Basically, because I called you out for being a follow back girl. And I said, you do the math on that, because your interaction is what you're looking for, not this silly numbers. I've got, I've got 20,000 and that's it. It's all about who can interact with you, not this garbage. So I proved my point to him and anybody else that was paying attention. And I laughed at him. I said, oh, by the way, in this whole interaction that we've had, I've gained about 10 more followers. So, yeah, you really showed me how it's done. Yeah. So, you know, these are just some, thoughts and musings I've had from, learning, the ins and outs of various digital, marketing ideas and campaigns and theories and all that kind of tactics that people use a lot out there. And, I definitely, you don't want to be a follow back girl on Twitter. Let's put it that way. So don't bother with that, folks. And I do encourage you to hit Twitter. The failing of Ufology to utilize Twitter to its fullest capacity, I think, is evident when you follow a lot of these shows, or a lot of individuals out there. It's a lot of talking at each other on Twitter. I don't think they've really grasped the idea of how to engage a conversation that much. It's like Bryce Abel today. I've had Bryce on like twice, you know, talk about his books. He definitely had a huge part in Richard Dolan's UFOs in the Police State, I think it was, and all that kind of stuff in that series that he has. But I had him on twice, and he asked a question about soccer there, and I thought, oh, that's cool. That's right up my alley. You know, how can we make soccer more exciting? Well, I'm sure the international listener base won't be too happy with this grossly stupid and inept soccer conversation, because we're American and we don't know much about it. So anyway, he was talking about how to make the game more exciting, and I get that it's exciting and all that the entire time for a lot of fans, a lot like hockey is for us, I guess, is the best way I can translate it to. But I was like, I replied to him on the Mind Cemetery. I was like, maybe a shorter field, you know, smaller field would increase scoring a little bit here and there, you know. But in soccer's defense, the net is awfully huge. So it seems like if you can just get the ball anywhere near the other side of where the goalie is, you should be fine. You know, that's my theory on soccer. If I can get the ball in the net more than the other guy, I can win, right? And if I can hit it where he ain't, that's a good idea. So just bringing some baseball ideas to soccer, by the way. Completely bastardizing both, I'm sure. But, but yeah, so it was that kind of question that you have to pose out there that will compel people to answer and all that kind of stuff. So I think they've absolutely failed in engaging not only people on Twitter, but engaging a smarter fan base in general with a lot of the stupidity, you know. And it's their own fault, because it's their own fault for it. And on the other hand, I can't really blame them for not changing the model, because they feel like the model that's in place of half crazy and half good at a conference speaker wise is good for business, because it puts butts in seats. You know, and if you can convince the folks that put together these conferences that it's better for business to go this direction, then that's the direction Ufology will go. You know, that's what's holding back Ufology in the past 30, 50 years, is that no one's presented them with a viable money-making model of their conferences beyond having just nut jobs on all the time, besides having Richard Hoagland on to tell you about cat people from Mars. Excuse me, sorry about that. which is all well and good, and everybody likes to be entertained, but if I wanted to hear that, I could just go to YouTube and sit at home. So, which is another reason why conferences are dying for the most part. Your base is getting older, and if you're... Yeah, you know, now that I think about it, since you know, Ufology hasn't decided to really embrace social media worth a damn, they've really fallen behind. There's no hard stands on any of the Facebook pages you subscribe to against, you know, BS, basically. I think it's welcome with open arms, so you can get as many people through the door, so hopefully somebody will talk about something. You know, it's a broken down system for sure. And I don't like Facebook as a whole anyway. And as it goes for the internet and these Edward Snowden documents that they're talking about with the British spies, and how they use it to screw things up basically for everybody, net neutrality, all that good stuff that we were talking about way early. So we're going to talk about this article right here. It says, the secretive British spy agency, GCHQ, has developed covert tools to seed the internet with false information, including the ability to manipulate the results of online polls, officially inflate page view counts, websites, sanctioned messages on YouTube, and censor video content judged to be extremist. And you probably already have seen that to some extent on your Facebook feed, and when you go check out YouTube, when you go try to check out some linked videos sometimes out there that they have online, and you go there and it says this content's been removed. Well, maybe this is part of it now. You know, it's not just someone reporting it as being, what is it? Offensive to them. It's, you know, this is actually a concerted effort. The capabilities detailed in documents provided by NSA whistleblower Edward Snowden even include an old standby for pre-adolescence prank callers everywhere, a way to connect two unsuspecting phone users together in a call. And I think we have somebody in the background talking. Hello.
Hey, what's up, Chip?
Hey, how you doing, Jason?
No,
finally getting to this big story here.
You know, this is. I think it's an absolutely huge story, but I don't think it'll be as big of a story as it needs to be, because, I mean, all of these, like, Snowden, like, NSA leaks, when there's, like, documented proof that the government is basically bending us over and screwing us, and there's nothing we can do about it, really.
Nothing. Yeah, that's what's great, and, you know, well, it's bad for us, but it's great for them, because the beauty of it all is that they're just completely laying their cards out on the table, and you're screwed. You can't do anything about it, because can't vote out the folks that do this kind of stuff.
Well, it's like you said about, like, the ufology audience. I guess the general, you know, audience of everybody out there is kind of in the same boat, because, you mentioned, like, the Facebook manipulation thing. Dude, people were up in arms over that. They were acting like the Antichrist himself had taken over everybody's Facebook account personally. And, you know, they were calling for blood, calling for congressional investigations. And now we find out that basically a sovereign government of a country everybody's heard of is doing it, and you talking about it is about as much media as it's going to get.
Yeah, you know, come to think of it, I did not see it on any major news source here. And you're right, this is exactly where these kind of things come to die in alternative media. Did you get to check out any of the code words that they use to kind of explain what they're doing, their tactics here? I'll go through a bunch of them here that the British made up. For changing the outcome of online polls, they had that code word. Classic. You there, Jason? No, okay. I guess we dropped there. Are we still live in the chat room?
No, I just went back into Skype, but no, man, Skype had screwed up, and I, like, didn't hear what the last thing you said was.
No problem. These are some of the code words that they used in their operations here. Mass delivery of email messaging to support an information operations campaign. That's called Badger. Mass delivery of SMS text messages to support an information operation campaign is called Warpath. So I think in just the names of those two different communication systems, I think tells you about how important they are to them. You know, if you're going to call a mass email chain Badger, that means they don't think it's going to do a whole lot, in my opinion. But the text, you can call it Warpath because it gets people pissed and in their face sooner. You can't. The point being is that with emails, they can be sandbagged and sat on for a few days before you get to them. You know, with the text messages, they're pretty instant and inflammatory. So, very good name calling that Warpath, I think. Disruption of video-based websites hosting extremist content through concerted target discovery and content removal. Basically, YouTube. How to get something off YouTube. They call that Silver Lord. Weird. Let's see. Active Skype capability. This is a good one that I read here. This is interesting. Active Skype capability. Provision of real-time call records. Skype out and Skype to Skype calls. And bi-directional instant messaging. Also, contact lists. Miniature Hero. So that tells you right there that they're targeting alternative media folks as a whole.
No, for all you know, they're like listening to us right now in Skype.
There you go. We got the whole, the static, the white noise there that for a minute. So you never know. And that's something I want to bring up, too, because a dude online that I talk to all the time, Phil Mancuso there on Facebook, brought this up when I saw this on the Godfather Richard Dolan's post, because he actually was the first one that I saw at the top of the page talking about this. This, as Phil says, will give credence to those people out there that want to sit and play the, I've been hacked game or the government's out to stop me, you know, and all the times when things go funny on Skype. This gives credence to them and it allows them to be even crazier. And that's exactly what's not needed in ufology, is any more sensationalism, any more stupidity, any more unfounded, accusations. Now, if you're smart enough or computer savvy enough to figure out what it actually is and isn't, then you can comment on it. But until you've made an effort to figure out what's going on by a professional that would know how these things are being done, then you need to shut up and sit down. No one's keeping you quiet because, as I commented, that whole stance would be predicated on the fact that you actually had something important to say that they wanted to have quiet, which I highly doubt many people in the UFO field fall in that category whatsoever. We're very useful idiots to them.
Well, man, it's happened to me several times, and well, it's not like a huge leap to think that the government used trolling as a tactic in the war on terror. I mean, they've basically been doing that since the beginning of time. Propaganda is not really anything new.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing about it, man. I mean, it's like, okay, not to go into like too far into the conspiracy theory stuff, but it's happened right here on the network, dude. There are people that probably 100% believe they would testify in court that they know and they can prove somehow that I am one of these paid government disinformation agents. Just because I've told somebody I thought they sounded full of shit.
Yep. That's the easy out there with ufology and these dopes.
See, but they had it all wrong, though. They thought the NSA was paying me. Turns out it's MI6.
Yeah, exactly.
Sterling, bitch.
A tool that will permanently disable a target's account on their computer. Angry Pirate is what they call that operation. So basically it's keeping you from getting online to fix anything. Find Angry private Pirate photographs of targets on Facebook.
You kind of have to wonder how they name some of these programs.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Isn't Angry Pirate some kind of like sexual maneuver that involves a knuckle and a quarter twist or something?
It is now. The ability, and this is what I like here more than anything. I like these parts where they're talking about ability to artificially increase traffic to a website is called Operation Gateway, and the ability to inflate page views on websites, which is called Slipstream and Gateway. So now what they're saying is to artificially increase the traffic. So that means it's not actual traffic. It's just what your analytics are telling you on the back end. So
shut up, Chip. Shut up, dude. I think you might have just figured out where we get all of our UPRA listener numbers from.
Right? Right? I mean, and that's what's crazy is that this might actually explain some things. Targeting of the biggest, alternative media outlet out there, basically, at least top three, to say the least. But, easily you can Google any one of our shows or UPRN talk radio and it'll be there, right? Don't worry. So that's interesting right there. But my thing is what's the goal of that? Why would you want to make people think they're getting more traffic than they actually are? So, like, what do they expect the results of that? That is something I don't know.
The only reason I can think that they would do that would be to puff somebody's head up, to make them think they're doing a difference, and basically goad them into taking some kind of action.
Yes.
I mean, that's the only thing I could possibly think.
Yeah, it's along that route is what I would be thinking, it would be along
the best our government has done. They basically like set up some patsy, which is entrapment.
Yeah,
I mean, just straight up entrapment. There's no other way around it. I mean, that might be the same thing. But you know what? But here in the ufology community, comment on this though. I mean, it's still a huge logical leap to say that okay, the governments of the world manipulate social media and like stick around with website hits and popularity and stuff. It's like, okay, that's fine and dandy, but it's still a huge leap of faith to say that they're doing that to target ufologists. I mean, not all right, let me look
exactly
at it from the common person, normal man's point of view. I would sit there and I would think, you know, the NSA wouldn't be following around ufology dorks and, you know, Stanton Friedman and Richard Dolan, like, they're leading some kind of underground insurgency. No, they're probably watching, like, the chatter that goes on at jihad.com or some meetup place like that.
Yeah, exactly. And the only other thing along those lines of inflating their head that I can think is that they're, like you said, they're goading whatever individual and basically, like, radicalizing them, I guess, into thinking that they're making a difference, and are they hoping for them, are they hoping to push them further, you know, into actually acting? I don't know. I don't know what the point of all that would be, other than, like you said, to set somebody up, you know. That's weird. That's weird. There's got to be some sort of psychological reasons for that. Let's see. Amplification of given message. Normally video on popular multimedia sites on YouTube, gestator. So it's basically setting fire to things that you want to be set fire to. Here's some good ones, too. Hang on a second, I got to clear my throat. It's targeted denial of service against web servers. That's a big one. Predator space. And distributed denial of service using P2P. Now, and that's called Rolling Thunder. And that's all access issues right there, and that goes along with the net neutrality and all that kind of junk, because I bet you they sit and claim that the person they're targeting is a terrorist, and that's how they get the denial of services to come through to keep you offline.
Well, I mean, it just looks like, I mean, I can't draw any other, like, long-term, what's the big-picture conclusion to all of this other than I guess they are trying to achieve complete and total information and opinion dominance and control. I mean, that's all they've really got to be doing. And, you know, it kind of does make me wonder, like, you know, how much of the shit out there that goes viral actually went, like, organically viral because people, you know, were caring about it and sharing it and whatnot, and how much of it was basically, you know, put on this gilded platter for everybody to, like that Kony 2012 stuff. I mean,
yeah. Oh, man.
You just kind of have to wonder about things like that. Oh, all you dumbasses that were posting, oh, Kony 2012, make a difference, give money. Y'all, I'm the only one
still
talking
about
Kony.
Warlord, basically. Yep. Yeah, and here's another thing. The ability to spoof any email address and send email under that identity called the Changeling. That's creepy right there. That goes along with that mass email stuff that we saw earlier in their tactics. Now, that's just what the British agents were doing. And we got some NSA people chiming in saying that we, you know, we're doing the same things, and how any criticism of government policies is considered extremist, and that's how they start taking off your posts online. I got a couple other whistleblowers, Bill Binney and Thomas Drake, claiming that the U.S. has become a police state now.
And you know, I've been talking.
The Godfather would definitely like that, wouldn't he?
I've been trying to highlight Bill Binney. What's happened to Bill Binney? I mean, ever since, I mean, I've heard about this guy years ago, and I've been talking about him since way before the Snowden thing. But, I mean, even with that, I think that basically nobody cares anymore, dude. I mean, more people know what LeBron James is doing than know that basically Germany just told us to get our head spy over there out. Like, get him out.
Mm-hmm.
They send him home. And I didn't even see that mentioned on Fox News. They were too busy arguing about immigration, you know.
Yeah, they're talking about how mass surveillance is always used to crush dissent. Damn right it is. Information is power. It always has been.
Well, you know, just like watching, like, the competing, like, news channels out there, it's like, I watch Fox for a little while to get some enemy intel on them, you know, see what kind of propaganda they're feeding each other.
Sure.
And they are completely on one side of the immigration topic, and it is a topic of discussion all day. Anything else that happens in the world is barely even scrolled across the bottom of the news screen. Mm-hmm. But their panel of five dickheads is going to tell you what you should be thinking about it. Then I turn over to MSNBC, and it's the exact same thing. Al Sharpton is calling them all the Republicans baby killers because they want to send all these children home. But they're children, and meanwhile, you know, our head spy master's getting kicked out of Germany and nobody cares.
Exactly. Well, that's not important. You know, Justin Bieber is and what he's doing.
That little bastard should be deported and never allowed into the country again. I mean, you do.
Wouldn't that be nice?
If I went and did the stupid shit that he did up in Canada, I would be escorted out of the country and never be allowed back in.
Exactly. You know, you, me, and anybody else, right? All the normal folks. Oh, well, you got you on here, and we got a few minutes left here. I want to talk about Stan Romanek again.
Oh, Stanny boy. Our best.
Notice we didn't hear nothing about that this week, last week?
No, I hadn't. Man, the only... All right, well, just to go off on a tangent real quick, dude, but you're going to get a kick out of this one, man. A prominent ufologist, this is one of those things on Facebook that just made me shake my head. A prominent ufologist, who I think she's pretty cool, so I'm not going to drop her name and diss or anything, that she asked a very simple question. She said, you know, name one person that's important to you, you know, just asking all of her followers like that. You know, something on the lines of, like, you know, important spiritual guru, someone that's made a difference in your life, like Malcolm X or the Dalai Lama, or, you know, or somebody like that. Dude, reading the responses from this circle jerk ufology crowd, I'm not shitting you, dude. This one dude listed a list of, like, a bunch of people, dude. These are the people that are important spiritual, life-altering influences that guide this man and a lot of these other commenters in the way they... Dude, Niara Isley, Lisa Roman. I was like...
Whoa.
Exactly, dude. That one kind of blew my mind. I was reading down his little list. It was like, Richard Dolan, Niara Isley, what? Lisa Romanek. And I was like...
Yikes.
I was like... You were right about what you said earlier, dude, about the audience of ufology being the big part of the problem.
Yep.
Your words ring true. Lisa Romanek a life... Is a... What?
That's, you know, there's, like I said, it's full of carny markers and a sucker's born every minute. So let's just keep riding this train for the money we can get
and
put up the big top.
Half of these idiots commenting over there were like... I mean, literally, dude, they were, like, basically listing the speaker list of, like, whatever crappy conference is going on next.
Yeah.
And they're like, they think that anybody in the field is a hero out there preaching the truth when 9 or 10 of them are selling you a sack of shit and you're loving it.
Exactly. Selling you a book, selling you a theory, and in some of you nutballs' cases, selling you an identity, which is why you fight so hard for these folks. They're not your family. They're not even scientists for the most part, but yet you're going to believe their theories about UFOs. Yeah, good luck with that. Yeah, I think his court date was either the 7th or the 11th of this month. his from the last time they were in court, he had to get the mental health evaluation, and his next court date was either the it was last week. I can't remember which one it was, but his new court date is now the 30th. So I'm assuming he asked for an extension for time to get the mental health assessment. So,
oh, kick ass, dude! So
I haven't seen any updates or anything like that. I haven't been lurking around on Lisa's page there, and yes, I do have a few burner accounts out there. When it comes to Twitter and Facebook, so.
Well, I'm actually kind of glad that his trial got delayed a little bit, because this is my Machiavellian, cock-blocking, player-hating, ultimate dick move of all that I would like to see done to Stan Romanek. We need to get Nancy Grace on this case, dude.
Ooh.
Ooh, couldn't you just see that? Couldn't you just see that for like 4 weeks? Her big-ass head would just be ranting on Romanek, and...
I wonder if I could just send her an email and be like, let's talk about this story.
Nancy Grace, you've got this charlatan fraudster who's a kitty diddler. And I'm going to underline that one in like 6-7 exclamation points after it.
How awesome would that be if I could do that be and try to pawn myself off as like the go-to person for the story?
We should start this movement, man. We should. Hell, we're going to need funding so we can start a Kickstarter.
Yeah. I thought about a Kickstarter for the sports show, actually. It's not a bad idea in that realm. You know, you can give tickets to games away and all that, you know, have co-hosting gigs and all that kind of stuff with people.
How is Stan Romanek's, like, I guess that legal defense fund that he's going to use to pay his, you know, public defender, did that ever give above $305?
good question. I haven't checked into that, but I know that pig Audrey Starborn was out there front running and heralding the goodness in them all and supporting them, so she can go to hell as far as I'm concerned.
And see, I want to like her, dude. I want to. I mean, I genuinely do, because it's like...
I don't think I've ever seen anything that... I don't think I've ever heard anything she's ever done. I'd have to really dig, man. I really haven't been exposed to any of it, you know, of her at all.
Well, she's out there, and, you know, I'd like to give her kudos and her points, you know, but getting out there and, you know, basically working with and starting up actually a pretty decent, like, ducky support network.
Yeah, which is the ultimate goal for a lot of people, you know, just have solid support groups, but... you know, to have this mentality where you're still going to support someone in all this, I just wonder. Well, I know what's going to happen. Nothing's going to come of it. You know, they'll get convicted, and Audrey will walk away, and everybody will go back to the drawing board in the Romanek camp and try to reestablish who they are in the community and all that kind of stuff.
Now I'm gonna be a dick and go out there into supposition in like theory land and say that, you know what, dude. I bet this is the best thing that ever happened to Lisa Romanek. I mean, you've already seen her basically making ovations that now that Stan has fallen and been martyred, she's going to be the one picking up the banner and carrying it. I guarantee you that's going to happen. She's going to try.
Oh, yes. You know
it's just going to be 10 times worse, and all of their supporters, well, quite honestly, fuck them. But, I mean, what can you say, man? Some people are just, they cannot be helped.
Yep. No, exactly. Some people you just can't reach, like they say in Cool Hand Luke. That's one of my favorite right there. But we're 4 minutes out here, man. I got to cut you loose so we can get out of here.
All right. Yeah, I just had to call in and get my, like, couple of minutes of hatred and discontent in because, you know, damn it, this field needs it.
That's right. And if not anything, this show is good for that, I guess, you know.
That's why I can't really talk about ufology that much anymore, dude, because I would turn into the Trailer Park Boys, Ricky of ufology. I mean, just be an abject, utter dick to everybody in the field. So I have to step away from it from time to time. But all right, dude, I'll let you end your show. Catch you later.
All right. Have a good one, Jason. There we go. Another regular call in right there, and has his own show there every other week on Fridays, I believe. It is Unabridged Universe. Check them out here on uprntalkradio.com and on soundcloud.com/uprn. Sorry about that. I'm watching a bit of the home run derby going on, and it's, you know, not too exciting. I've got the sound off, for at least, so at least I don't have to listen to Boomer yelling, back to have a heart attack and get it over with, would you? Anyway, not too many people would know that one, but I do a lot of crossing over. I'm sorry if there's things that don't make sense for some people. That Chris Berman is a very loud, boisterous person on the Booyah Network right there. So hopefully this episode worked out well with my muff on the mic. I am going to go back and listen to it. I did a test call and it sounded great. So don't forget to get out there on soundcloud.com/UPRN and check out the download from tonight's show if you want to listen to it again. Or if you want to listen to anything else. Next week, I don't know who I'll have. I'll think of something and pull it out of my rear as usual and put it together. See, it's not really that hard. Oh, something I didn't touch and I want to touch real quick. There's a Goonies and Gremlins reboot looking to be made here via Blaster.com. So that's all I could get the TV and movie news in this week. So sorry I didn't touch on too much of that. But we'll see what happens here coming up in this week. And we will see you next week at 9 p.m. right here on the United Public Radio Network. I want to thank our sponsors, TK Digital Marketing Solutions.com, at TK Digital Marketing MKTG, for any help with your digital marketing strategies. Full service agency right there. I want to thank everybody for coming out in the chat room. Pretty lively chat room tonight. Thank you for helping out. Pull me kicking and screaming along the show tonight. And hopefully everybody can have a pleasant evening. And the moon's still fairly full, and that's always good to go out and check if you have a clear sky. So we'll see you next week right here on the Mind Cemetery. And check me out on Facebook and Twitter. Just search Mind Cemetery and you'll be able to find me. It's not difficult. And see you next week.